Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is the full show from today's episode of Undisputed from start to finish. We've got a busy slate, so skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
Happy Labor Day. Welcome to Undisputed live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft here with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp.
Wow.
Hey, guys.
Reunited, and it feels so good. I'd sing it, but we'd have to pay for it, right?
I mean,
Jenny,
yes,
he was like
it.
A sad puppy dog for the last 3 days.
He's, thank you.
There we
I've
go.
I've missed that. I've missed some more than others.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Aren't you happy? You're having a happy Labor Day.
Where's your girl, Alex? Huh?
What girl?
I heard Alex. What you were doing.
Well, I got one girl. I only got Ernestine.
Oh, yeah. Alex. Yeah, he going to be lost
just
today.
Just me and Ernestine. Uh-huh. Alex who?
Oh. I like Alex, but social media, they're not too happy with you.
Really?
I just want you to know.
We got another Twitter victim here. Twitter victim.
No, I had a victim.
Two people are not happy with me.
Either way.
So Jenny's unhappy with me.
I'm so glad I'm here because I did miss you guys. And we have a lot to get to. And coming up on today's show, we'll discuss the Eagles quarterbacks, the Cowboys kicker, and Nick Saban's temper. But let's start with a huge trade in the NFL. Khalil Mack is no longer a Raider after being traded to the Bears this weekend in a massive deal for 2 first-round picks. Mack was holding out for a new deal in Oakland, but the Bears gave him a 6-year, $141 million extension with $90 million guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. That makes him the highest paid defensive player in the league. John Gruden talked to the media yesterday and said the deal was just too much for Oakland. Let's take a listen.
We made an offer. I don't believe we were anywhere close to where the Bears were. And the Bears made us an offer that we thought was really unique. And very, very tough to say goodbye to a great player, but here we are today.
Do you feel Reggie was truly on board with trading him, or do you feel maybe you had...
They're trying to divide us. People are trying to divide us, and I wanted him gone. He wanted him here. You know, we made a decision as an organization. Mark Davis, Tom Delaney, we all got the information, and we made a decision together. And I'll just say what he said. I read what he said yesterday. It's a decision that we all came to. You know, maybe some feeling that I was involved on a day-to-day negotiation. I had nothing to do with it. So we were at a standoff, and something had to happen, and here we are.
Shannon, what are the Raiders doing?
They have no idea. Skip Bayless, when you draft a player, regardless of position, you hope that player turns out mm-hmm. to do what Khalil Mack did. Regardless of his position, all you can do is hope. Man, I hope the guy that we scouted on tape, that we saw at the combine, that we have in our building now, I really hope we hit this out of the park. Skip, they got a great player. The guy had 15 and a half sacks his second year. He's defensive player of the year his third year, and he has 10 and a half sacks his fourth year. What kind of price did you think it was going to take to sign him? Mm-hmm. And this is what I get. John Gruden says the price for Khalil Mack got too expensive, said, you know, the price was just too high. Where's the awareness, John Gruden? You got more guaranteed money than Khalil Mack did. Your contract is $100 million, fully guaranteed. Khalil Mack got $90 million. Was that too? So let me tell you why you can't sign Khalil Mack. When you pay a coach that's been away from the game, Jenny, for 10 years and you give him $100 million, Skip, I say you're worth what someone's willing to pay.
But John Gruden doesn't fit under the cap.
No. But here's the thing, what you do have to do. Mm-hmm. When you guarantee a contract, you immediately must put that money in escrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guarantee somebody like the Los Angeles Rams, they guaranteed Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. $80 million, that goes in escrow.
So are you saying the Raiders just couldn't afford Khalil
Mack? They're cash strapped. They're not like the Rams.
I don't see that.
Skip.
I don't see it.
Stan Kroenke's worth $8 billion. How much you think Mark Davis is worth?
Well, he's moving to Las Vegas. He's going to be worth a lot more.
He's not there yet. And see, the difference here, Skip, when you relocate.
Well, then this isn't Gruden's fault, right?
Of course it is. He has final say.
Yeah. So, but you're saying they don't have enough, the owner just simply doesn't have enough money to pay him?
No, Skip, I'm saying is that this is what normally what people do. Yeah. If something's coming down the line and you know, okay, I want a house in 3 years, you don't wait till the 3 years up and like, okay, I want that house. You start making modifications. You start doing things to structure you to put you along that path where mm-hmm. you can get that house in 3 to 4 years. Khalil Mack in his second year has 15 and a half sacks. The mm-hmm. third year, he's defensive player of the year. How much do you think it's going to sign? How much is it going to cost mm-hmm. you? So basically, you're saying the only people we're going to pay, we're going to play Derek Carr and we're going to play Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Defense, to hell with you.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the way they're going. Skip, you and I both know John Gruden had everything. Skip, you don't get $10 million a year without having final say. Who is John Gruden kidding?
No, I agree with that. But listen, Mark Davis has got endless money. However, NFL owner does. You got collateral. Your team's worth $1 billion, so you can go get a loan if you have to.
Yeah.
And by the way, his signing bonus, Khalil Mack, but it was less than Aaron Donald. So it
wasn't, no, it was more.
No, the signing bonus was a little less, but the guaranteed was more.
I thought Khalil got $60 million.
He had a little less, but he had more overall guaranteed. But whatever, it doesn't matter. It's like six of one, half dozen
right.
the other.
It just sends a terrible message, Skip, because you're punishing Khalil Mack for outperforming, for being better than what you had originally thought he was going to be. The guy outperformed the contract. You have to pay. You have to compensate for it. He's 35% of and it didn't equate, Skip. If you look at Khalil Mack numbers, they still were a team that didn't generate a whole lot of pass rush. But he's 35% responsible for the sacks that they did create.
Yep.
And he's gone now. So this is what we know. Those two first-round picks you got, one of them better turn out to be Khalil Mack.
He will not.
Well,
he just will not. Well, the odds are stacked against you.
Yep. Well, if that's the case, Skip, they made a huge, huge mistake. Because, like I said, they have trouble getting to the quarterback as it is with Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Now that he's been removed from the equation, how vaunted will their pass rush be? Mm-hmm. How good will their defense be without Khalil?
I agree. So, as you know, I love me some John Gruden, but I hated me some Khalil Mack trade because I've never seen anything this dumb before. It's incomprehensibly stupid and foolish and short-sighted to let go of a very popular locker room leader, because that's what Khalil Mack was to this team, in return for draft picks that will never stack up to what he is. It's just the odds. Again, could you hit the lottery with one? I guess you could, but I'm willing to bet against this right here, right now. So I loved it that Mark Davis went out and brought back John Gruden, but that move just got undercut and maybe even completely disqualified by making this trade that will wreck John Gruden's first season. It is now definitely disqualified because that locker room is going to be in psychological shambles over this. You saw the early tweets from the quarterback and the other pass rusher. Mm-hmm. They were not happy, and they shouldn't. And Derek Carr.
No bleeping way.
Yeah, no bleeping way. And I think Derek Carr was just no way. It was his first tweet. And then both of them reverse field and said, yeah, but we got to get ready. We got to go onward and upward, which is what you would say at that point, too, because you have to. But the first two tweets are the gold tweets. They're the ones that came straight from the heart and the gut and the soul, because they said exactly what the rest of the world is saying. No way.
No way.
Yeah. You did that? And I hate to say this about my guy, John Gruden, and I know him well, but this smacked of what I call Baker Mayfield syndrome, because you cannot convince me that Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey are not trying to just keep Baker Mayfield on ice for a year to buy a year of fan patience more before the clock starts on them next year when Baker Mayfield actually gets to see the football field. This is the same thing. I think John Gruden is making so much money that he started getting cold feet about having to make miracles in year number one with the Oakland Raiders, because a lot of people are saying, we're back, here right. we come. And all of a sudden, by making this trade, he's forcing many in Raider Nation to sit back and say, oh, well, I guess we got to wait, what, 2-3 years to see how these draft picks turn out? Maybe John thinks it's taking a little heat off, giving him, you know, buying him a little more time to rebuild.
Turn the heat up, Skip.
Yeah, but hey, rebuild. They went out and made a bunch of little veteran moves to win now. Remember, we had Rob Ryan, our coach, on, and he was just raving. He says people are underestimating how many nice little moves and bringing in veterans that John Gruden has pulled off.
Right.
Well, that just got disqualified, right. Didn't it? You just lost your, talk about veteran pass rusher.
It seems like the moves they made, Skip, was all offensively generated. You get Jordy Nelson pairing with Amari Cooper. Okay. They bring beast mode back.
Okay.
They get a left tackle. They put Penn to right tackle.
They did.
It seems like everything is catered to John Gruden because remember, Skip, when he was in Tampa, that defense really, Monty Kiffin, took care of itself.
Yep.
You got Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. You got Hall of Famer Derek Brooks. You got Hall of Famer on the ballot John Lynch, Simeon Rice. Yep. So
I don't know.
Not what you have in Oakland.
You have none of that. You had a little of that in this guy because he's a lot.
Skip, this dude is for real.
By the way, Pro Football Focus, I saw the stat last night. Over the last 2 years, Khalil Mack has 175 sacks, quarterback hits, and quarterback hurries. That's 13 more than the second best over the last 2 years, your guy Von Miller. Okay, so that just shows you, that's why I made the case, I don't think you were here, Jenny, but it was one of the days you were gone, that I made the case, I make Khalil Mack, remember when I told you and Rob, a little more valuable than Aaron Donald, just because he's an edge rusher,
right.
And off the edge, you can wreak a little more havoc than you can wreak from inside.
Right.
Not that he's not a valuable anchor,
right.
And sometimes he can blow up the middle of the pocket and push it back into the quarterback, but this guy, in the fourth quarter of games, he can just take the whole game over because all of a sudden you can try to chip block him or do whatever you want to do, and he's still going to beat the double team and get to the quarterback.
Skip, you remember what was it, about 3 years ago he had his coming out party?
Yeah.
They needed this game, and they went to Denver, and he put up that five-sack performance against the Broncos, and that's like, okay, Khalil Mack has arrived. Skip, it just, for me, and when you look at this, if someone wants to say, well, why would they give, and I can agree, Skip, if they say, well, man, why would you give Odell? You see he have immaturity issues on the field. You see some of the things he's done off the field. Okay, Khalil Mack has been great on the field.
This is a wiser move because he's been a leader.
He's been exemplary off the field. No red flags, no
red flags.
Anything.
Nope.
And you do this?
Yeah.
Skip, this makes no sense to me. Now, maybe, John Gruden basically say, hey, look here, they're my team. I'm in charge here.
Okay.
I got the big office. I'm the big guy. So this is where I'm going to sit. Because it's been reported that Reggie McKenzie was not on board with the Skip, I'd be shocked if Reggie stayed
John
here.
Said in his thing that they were all on board. But whatever. But I agree. It was reported. By the way, I can't defend Reggie McKenzie because of his last 50 draft picks, only 11 are left on the roster. So he hasn't done a great job of doing that.
But he hit it out of the park with this one.
Okay, with this one, he hit it out of the park. And so that what gets me about this one is how they played it or didn't play it. Because, again, if you knew for sure you couldn't pay this guy, like he's just in another world and you just think, or maybe you decide because there are games when his motor doesn't run as hot as I would like to see it. If old school John Gruden walked in the door and looked at the tape and said, you know what, he's not worth that much money.
Right.
Well, then do it before April's draft. You know, make it, because you could auction him off and probably get this much.
Right.
And then you'd have those two picks or three or four picks,
right.
And you could use them boom, boom, boom that night, and they'd all be rookies, and you could be saying, well, at least you got so-and-so and so-and-so, right?
Correct.
Okay? Okay, so if you wait until September 1st, why wouldn't you wait until September 6th? Why wouldn't you just wait a few more days? Because he tweeted last Thursday, Khalil Mack did, I miss it. Well, you know how the football player's mentality this time of year, if you're a holdout,
you're right.
What starts happening? You start
getting
the itch, man. You start saying, okay, yeah, I want this money, but I want to play. Why is there a CBA that's in place right now? Because all the players just finally said, we want to play.
Yep.
You know, they want their checks, but they just want to play football, and I don't blame them. I love that. That's why I love this game. So Khalil Mack is saying, I miss it. Well, what if you waited until next, I don't know, Thursday or Friday? You think he might report?
Well, I think the thing was, Skip, once Aaron Donald got that payday, he wasn't coming.
Well,
because Aaron Donald's defensive player of the year, he's defensive player of the year
before. What if you just stonewall him? What if you play Cold War with him? What if you just say, we have him on his fifth year of his rookie deal, so he's going to make, what is it, $13.9
million. Mm-hmm.
And we have the franchise tag in our back pocket for next year, right?
Right.
So what if we just wait? What if he misses the first two games? How long would Khalil Mack just sit? I don't know. What if Khalil Mack finally threw up his hands and said, They got me. I got to come in.
He strikes me as a guy that's very thoughtful, and I'm sure his agent prepared him for this day, and this is why he did it the way he did. He says, let's just say for the sake of argument, Skip Bayless, I come in for my fifth year.
Yep.
Guess what they're going to do in year six? Franchise me.
They
would. Guess what they're going to do in year seven? Franchise me.
Are you willing to sit that long? I mean, they still have – your rights belong to John Gruden, right?
And so he played it the best way he knew how. If you are a top player, the only leverage you have is your service. Hmm. And when you're really good like an Aaron Donald, when you're really good like a Khalil Mack, put that thing on ice. You know early on, Skip, you know what? I'm pretty good.
Yep.
And down the road, this thing, I'm gonna be in line to make some serious money. So you start making plans, because I might have to sit this thing down for 6 months. I might sit out the entire season to prove my point and to get the money that I deserve.
It's rare that that has happened. It's rare.
Yeah, Sean Gilbert did it. But see,
Emmitt Smith lasted two games, remember?
And Jerry Kay when he went 0-2.
And by the way, they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And the thing, but here's the thing. This is what we know, Skip. They're the only position that really never has to haggle or scream and kick about their money is the quarterback. Everybody else, they got to make up a stink. They got to threaten to hold out. Yep. Aaron Rodgers says, oh, it's going to get done. You know, there's no timeline. And boom, boom. Kirk Cousins got $84 million. Andrew Luck got $87
million. Yep.
Matthew Stafford gets his money. Matt Ryan gets his money. The quarterback position is the only one that does not have to haggle about their money. Everybody else has to threaten in order to get their money. But, Skip, this deal makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch Khalil Mack, Skip, he really has no weakness. He plays the run exceptionally well. Can set the edge, can take on tackles. He can pass rush. Now, he's more of a buller than, say, Vaughn. He's not as nimble, as Gumby-like, bendy, like a Vaughn Miller. But, boy, he's equally disruptive.
He is.
He can flat-out play.
So, allow me to say, bully for the Bears, because they just pulled off a stunner and an all-timer.
You just like it because it's in Aaron Rodgers' division.
I agree, and I've been thinking about that. That Aaron's Tony Romo collarbone that he's
developed.
Skip,
what is wrong with you?
It's made of cauliflower now. Or is it paper mache or glass? Is it just a glass collarbone? And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this Bears rush. Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd, they're going to be coming from everywhere after
poor Aaron. Got Roquan in the middle.
They
got a nice defense. Now, they were pretty good on D last year.
Yep. And I want to say one thing in favor of the Bears, because the great Peter King pointed out in his piece this morning that if you extend this Khalil deal out over its lifespan, that the cap just keeps going up $10 million, whatever, each year.
It's going to be nothing.
It's nothing compared to what he's worth, because it will continue to be about 10% of the Bears' cap.
Right.
Well, that's not an outrageous percentage of the cap to pay for that guy.
You know why the Bears can do it, Skip? Their quarterback is on what? A rookie contract.
Yep, he is. Well, that helps.
This is what the Bears are saying. We're going for it. Because guess what? Trubisky's going to come up for here in about 3 years, Skip. Mm-hmm. So the going rate seems to be what?
If he lives up.
Even if he's because what we see is even marginal quarterbacks now is $20 million.
Yep.
So if he's good, or if he's what they think he is, you're going to talk about $30, $35 million.
Okay.
It might even be $37 million. Hmm. But what we see, Skip, is that teams that have these rookie contracts, they're willing to go for it, a la St. Louis Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this St. Louis Rams, they got 2 years before they have to blow this thing up, because then Jared Goff is going to be up. Then he's going to want big payday.
I think the Rams don't have a cap. They're the only uncapped team. Seriously, I don't know how they do it. They're playing with Monopoly money.
Well, when your owner's worth about $8 billion, there's a few teams, Skip. You know, you look at Seattle. Paul Allen's worth, what, $14
billion? Yeah.
But they got a cap. Hmm. But here's the thing, Skip. I understand that the Raiders are cash strapped, but they have something different than what baseball. They have revenue share.
Mm-hmm.
So when you revenue share, Skip, it doesn't matter if you win 10 games, one game, or you win the Super Bowl.
Mm.
You guys share the same amount.
Yep.
Now, what you can generate locally, that's totally on you. But everybody got a check cut for $255.
Mm-hmm.
How bad do you want to win, Skip?
Mm.
Skip, there's no way I'm giving up this young man. At 27? I can see if he's 30, Skip.
Yeah.
But he's 27 in the prime with no problems, no red flags on or off the field.
Mm-hmm.
This makes absolutely no sense.
So your man Aaron Rodgers got a small break here, because they get to play the Bears in game number one, which is next Sunday night.
Yeah.
So the Bears have almost 7 days to get Khalil Mack ready. I don't know how much he'll play, maybe half the snaps. Maybe he won't be quite in sync yet.
Well, he won't be in football shape. We know that for certain.
I don't know. So maybe Aaron gets a small break there, but then December 16th, it's in Chicago.
What's
cold. Collarbone gets brittle. I don't know. I don't wish it on anybody. I got to knock on wood for that.
Hold on. Yeah. Talk about it. It gets cold in Green Bay, too, Skip.
It does.
Aaron Rodgers has been playing.
He didn't have to play Khalil Mack every week, right? Now he gets him twice a year.
I mean, you seem happy that Khalil Mack is in the North.
I'm very happy with that.
Why would you be happy? I wish he had gone to the – I mean, I wish somebody could like him. Who could have made a deal? Maybe Washington could have made a deal for old Khalil.
Yeah. Well, that Viking defense is nothing to sneeze at, right? They got him last year. They got poor little Aaron.
Well, it was reported that the Rams were kicking the tires on Khalil Mack. How fair would that have been, Skip? Really?
Wow.
Khalil Mack, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald.
Okay, explain that salary cap.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay. I mean, somebody just going to have to say, look here, I'm going to have to pay a large fine. I'm just going to have to pay a large fine. I'm just going to suck it up because you got Tlaib making over $10 million a year. You got Peters. Man, that defense, Skip. I don't know how you throw the ball. I really don't.
If Sue's still making a pretty penny.
$14 million.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
They going for it. They got a two. They basically said for 2 years, Skip, we throwing all our eggs in the basket. We just hope we don't trip on the way to the market because that's what they've done. That's what the Rams have done. But Skip, I'm not trading Khalil Mack. I mean, you see the Broncos. They thought like, okay, where else are we going? Skip, you just hope. Do you know how? Like you said,
we got it.
Do you know how many times people fail in the draft?
Yep.
I mean, look at your team, the Cowboys.
I don't know. They're loaded at defensive end.
Oh, now they're loaded.
They might have the best pass rush in football.
Well, we're going to find out. Guess what? We'll find out Sunday, Carolina.
They're so loaded. They were cutting Coney Ealy and Jihad Ward and Tapper. They had to cut them all.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Carolina traded him. The Patriots cut Coney Ealy. The Jets cut Coney Ealy.
You ask, I answer.
You talk about Coney Ealy.
Yeah. We're loaded.
We're loaded.
We're going to talk about
that. We'll see.
Are the Eagles going into the season with a major quarterback controversy?
No mercy.
The Eagles start defending their Super Bowl title in 3 days at home against the Falcons, but we still don't know who will start at quarterback. On Saturday, it was reported that Nick Foles would get the start, which doesn't seem surprising since Carson Wentz still has not been cleared for contact, but the report was not confirmed by Doug Peterson, and he got testy with the media yesterday when his QB situation was brought up again. Take a listen.
Hey, Doug, have you made a decision on who will be starting quarterback, and if so, who?
First of all, I appreciate y'all putting words in my mouth this week, and therefore, I'm not going to discuss it.
How will words put in your mouth?
You saw the reports.
Who? Well,
next question. Next question. I'm not answering the question. As a group.
Oh, that makes no sense.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks a lot. Right. I'm going to lump you all together.
Okay. We're asking a fair question.
What's the point of this?
Exactly. What is the point of this? It's my decision.
And you're not going to discuss your decision?
No. Not publicly. I don't do that. I don't do it with any position on this team. I will not do it.
Okay. He will not do it. Shannon, what does it tell you?
It tells me that Dougie got a little extra, motivation, Skip. You know that Lombardi. You know that Lombardi gave you some courage, Skip. What we've seen, Doug Peterson is one of eight active coaches that has a Super Bowl title on his resume. And what we've seen, Skip, that bother you, doesn't it? Why you roll your eyes, Skip?
Yeah, as if he did it.
Whoa, Skip.
He was the main reason. Whoops. We got
Jenny. I've gone for 3 days.
I missed you so much, Jenny. In the words of my good friend, Ha Ha Davis, this is beyond me, Skip, that you get so upset when I tell you the man has a Lombardi on his resume. I'm sorry, Mr. Clapper doesn't have one on his resume yet. You all upset about this. But, Skip, this is what happened. He should be upset at the person that leaked this information within his organization.
Yep.
And plus the fact that last Thursday he said that Carson Wentz has not been cleared from contact. Okay, someone within your organization leaked that Nick Foles is going to start. You tell the media out of your own mouth that Carson Wentz has not been cleared for contact. What the hell are they supposed to deduce from that? Now you mad at them. You mad at the media for reporting what someone in your organization, because Skip, we know how this thing works, these insiders. My sources close to the team. Mm-hmm. My sources in the NFL. Skip, where do you think these sources come from? Team, general manager, head coach, owner, a player, someone within that organization, just like NFL News. This is how our Jay Glazer and the Schefters and the Morts, this is how they get that. Somebody gives up that information. Hmm. You can't get mad at them. You got to get mad at the people that knew it and gave up the information. But you know, Skip, this is what it is. Last year, Doug Peterson would have never done this. You know why? Because he didn't have the expectations. Well, see, when you were
nobody even knew who he was. Go ahead.
We knew who he was.
You barely.
Don't
did.
Do that, Skip.
You
don't do
his
that.
His name was Jim Peterson.
We know it was. Now he go by Dougie P. Yeah. But anyway, when you win that Super Bowl, you know what happens the following year? They expect you to replicate what you did from the year before.
Yep.
So now he's starting to feel the pressure because you don't have that luxury of, you know, hey, if we go 8-8, we go 10-6, it's good. No. Mm. Now your fans expect you to go to and compete for Super Bowls. Every year. So now he's starting to feel that pressure. Mm-hmm. And they ask him a question, simple question.
Yep.
Doug, have you made a decision on who's going to be your starting quarterback? I think it was a very good question.
I'd say.
One of the questions. One of the questions I would have asked. Mm. Well, I might have phrased it like this. Well, Dougie, there are sources that say.
Would you have said Dougie?
I said Dougie.
You would have been disqualified among the Philadelphia media.
Dougie, I'm outsider. Yeah. But here's the thing. He said it. Why did he say Carson Wentz hasn't been cleared for contact? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, do keep your mouth shut and tell him, you know what? Guys, you'll see who my starter is.
Yep.
Whoever runs out there with the starting offensive unit, that's my starting quarterback. That's all he had to do. Mm. But when you said the guy hasn't been cleared for contact, you actually think people believe that he hadn't been cleared for contact in practice, but you're going to send him out there in a game to play?
Mm.
Come on, Doug. Mm. But Doug is his anger and his fury is misplaced.
Mm.
Be mad within your organization that someone leaked that information. Mm. Be mad at yourself because you said Carson Wentz hasn't been cleared for contact.
Mm. So now you've become a fan of this guy?
Who?
You can defend this guy?
Yeah, man, on Dougie.
Dougie P, who's digging himself the deepest hole in Philadelphia, and he and his team are not going to be able to climb out of
it? Use the Cowboys' head to stand up and look out of it.
Okay. Well, I see a Dougie P who's coming apart. I see a Dougie P who is choking under the pressure to handle the reigning Super Bowl champs with a quarterback quandary. Because this is a quandary, and you need to defuse it the way you said to defuse it, but you can't crack under the pressure. You can't reveal yourself to be some thin-skinned bad guy because that's what he's coming across as. And I'm going to remind everybody that Dougie P, just 10 years ago, was a high school coach in Shreveport, Louisiana. Until just recently, he got to go along on a magic carpet ride in which the magic was made by his backup quarterback who fell straight out of heaven into his lap, and Nick Foles played the two greatest quarterback big stage games I've ever seen a quarterback play
in the
championship game and the Super Bowl.
You're not going to give him any credit for calling the plays?
I'll give him a little bit of credit, but if it's not for Nick Foles, then Dougie P doesn't write a book called Fearless,
and
have the audacity and the classlessness to rip a fellow head coach in Doug Marrone. He ripped Doug Marrone for not being fearless up in Foxborough in the AFC Championship game. Way to go. That's really cool, Dougie P, to sell your book. And then Dougie P, two Fridays ago, did a big national media blast in which he did that what's called satellite media tour. He's on every show. He's on Colin's show here on FS1. Mm-hmm. He was everywhere talking about fearless, trying to sell it, and then he turned right around, and he yesterday, this is about the third time he's done it, bit the hand that's trying to feed his book, right?
Yeah.
And he lumps all of his mostly local reporters together and condemns them for a tweet, just a tweet from a national reporter who works for what? The NFL's network. So Ian Rappaport tweets that this is happening, that Nick Foles is going to start the opener, which is no shock to anybody, given what's being divulged on a daily basis. Carson Wentz hasn't been cleared to play, right?
Not cleared for contact.
So he tweets this. He works for the NFL's network, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then Doug Peterson so wrongheadedly comes out and starts blasting the Philadelphia media, and to their credit, they're all saying, what is this about?
Yeah, all y'all look alike.
Okay, all right.
That's what Dougie said.
Yeah, that's right.
He said he's lumping all you guys together.
Yeah. So this is so, like Belichick never takes personal shots at the media. He never tries to dismiss it like, I'm going to lump you all together. He doesn't do it that way. He just stonewalls. He gives one-word answers. He gives non-answers.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Had Coach Belichick not had those five? That's not what he did in Cleveland. He answered everybody's question. He didn't do that with Greg.
You know what? That's wrong. Bill Belichick was out of control in Cleveland. He was at war with the Cleveland media.
Yeah, because he wasn't winning.
Well, I'm just saying. I wrote about it. I talked about it on ESPN. He was at war. He just about got run out of Cleveland.
Let me ask you a question. Would Greg Popovich be so condescending?
You know what I say? No, I despise Greg Popovich.
I think the problem
the way he treats the media. It's so condescending.
I think what's upsetting you, Skip, mm-hmm. is that your guy, mm-hmm. the guy that's about to write a book, The 10 Different Ways to Clap, Jason mm-hmm. Garrett, mm-hmm. because he no, has a word. Yeah, that's your guy.
Don't try to change the subject. No. This is your guy.
My guy.
This is your guy. How can you defend this?
Skip, I'm not defending. I didn't defend him.
Well, you're trying between
How?
The lines.
No, I said his anger and his fury is misplaced. Be mad at the person that was in the organization that had knowledge of this decision,
yep.
that gave this information to Ian Rappaport. Be mad at yourself because last week you mm-hmm. said your starting quarterback had not been
actually,
clear for contact.
In this same interview that we saw the first of, he did it again. He inadvertently blurted out, no, he hasn't been cleared for contact
right.
yet. And Sal Palantonio reported on ESPN that this was breaking news. This was just yesterday.
Right.
That once again, he said he has not been cleared.
Right.
So now we have to leap to the conclusion that if he hasn't been cleared all the way up to Sunday,
right.
I think Thursday night, he's going to be Nick Foles.
Right.
So then he went into, well, you know, this is somebody asked him a question about, is this about competitive advantage or disadvantage? He said, yeah, I don't want to give somebody the game plan to get ready for, between the lines.
No, I'm not defending. Yeah. I'm just telling you what has transpired, Skip, is that the expectation that mm-hmm. he has now. Mm-hmm. He's feeling that pressure. There's pressure that comes along with winning a Super Bowl because the expectation is that you had a magic ride last year. Everything went according to plan, even though you lost your starting left tackle, mm-hmm. even though you lost your starting quarterback. You were still able to have replacement step in and fulfill the job.
Yep.
But now, okay, what do you do for the encore?
I don't know. To me, he's being exposed as a little man with huge new responsibility. That's what this is.
No, big guy, big man.
He's crumbling.
No, when you stand on that Lombardi, it makes you taller than what you actually are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach.
He even tried to go Drew Rosenhaus mirror on T.O.
Next question.
Yeah.
Next question.
What do you want?
Impressive.
What do you want him to say, Skip? He's already.
Exactly what you said. You can duck and dodge and dance and you can say all kinds of things.
Well, first,
we don't know yet. We're not sure yet. Maybe the doctors will clear him by Wednesday.
Well, he was already upset because I'm sure before he went to that podium, he had already known that somebody had said that Nick Foles was going to start. So he's already upset that someone that...
Well, it was just one tweet from Ian Rappaport. He said, you saw the reports, plural. It was just, I don't know another one. I think it was just that one.
He's upset because someone with direct knowledge, someone very close to him or in that coaching circle, gave Ian Rappaport that info.
Have reports ever been wrong? You could just say that hasn't been decided yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty easy.
Okay, let's just say that's for the sake of argument. That's wrong. My starting quarterback, our franchise quarterback, hasn't been cleared for contact.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no contact this week. It's a short week, Skip. So there won't be any contact. So the likelihood, there's a 0% chance that Carson Wentz plays if he hasn't been cleared for contact.
Okay.
Zero.
Well, I'd say. But you're going to have to leap to that conclusion unless he blurts out. He was the one who divulged he hasn't been cleared for contact.
Yeah, that's the second time in like 3 days because he did it on Thursday.
Okay.
And he did it again yesterday.
So should he rip himself?
Yeah, that's what he should.
I screwed up. I shouldn't have said that.
That's where his anger should be pointed at.
All right. Good. We concluded then. Right.
You thought I was defending him.
Yeah.
A little bit. Could this just be a sign how worried he is about Foles?
Yeah.
I mean, he had an awful preseason. Mm-hmm. And at some point, when you're talking about it every single day.
He also played the two greatest quarterback games on the biggest stages you will ever see. And I will bet you on Thursday night stage, Nick Foles will play very well.
You think so?
Yeah. And then he's got a quandary. Then it's a problem.
The problem is his starting franchise quarterback still hasn't been cleared to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, Skip.
The bigger problem is the starting franchise quarterback hasn't played a single snap in a playoff game in his life.
Don't worry about
that's
that.
That's the problem.
Unfortunately, the Cowboys.
I'm not worried about it. I like it.
The Cowboys in the regular season, he'll be fully healthy playing against them.
Good.
And you know the outcome of what that will be.
Yep. Because if it's at Philadelphia and he throws an early pick to my Cowboys, The boo birds are going to come out. They booed Santa Claus, and they'll boo Carson Wentz. Trust me.
Well, we know y'all Santa Claus because y'all give up games like it's nothing.
This is a new day.
No, it's not. It's the Cowboys.
New D and a new day.
Cowboys.
Yep.
New D and new day. I like that one. Okay.
You like that? That should be a slogan.
No, it should not.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about the Cowboys because they have made and possibly some big mistakes with their roster this weekend. And how you're going to defend this one, Skip, I just can't wait.
He'll
go next.
He'll try. No
mercy. Well, the Cowboys made some surprising moves on Saturday. They cut former Pro Bowl kicker Dan Bailey. He was with Dallas for 7 seasons and is the second most accurate kicker in NFL history. He'll be replaced by Brett Maher, who was never made a regular season kick in the NFL. The Cowboys also held on to tight end Rico Gathers, even though he was arrested on Friday and charged with marijuana possession. Gathers posted bond on Saturday. Shannon, what do you make of these roster moves?
Skip, I'm shocked by the Dan Bailey cut. As Jenny mentioned in the read, he's the second most accurate kicker of all time. And what we know about NFL games, Skip, for the majority, they come down to a kick. Either to win the game or to tie the game. These games are very, very close. Now, we saw last year the San Diego Chargers go with a rookie in Koo who missed 2 kicks. One was blocked in Denver. Then he missed one that would have won the game. They start 0-4.
Who was my dark horse pick last year?
The Chargers.
Thank you.
And guess what? Skip, I'm shocked by this move because it's not like he's You okay?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's not like he's costing $5 million. He's 30 years of age, second most accurate kicker of all time. And you make this move to do what? Now, unless you're gearing up to clear that roster space to go get you-know-who up in Seattle, Skip, now then I was like, okay. But still, I'm like, I still believe you can gear up and go get Earl Thomas without cutting a proven kicker because let's take the New England Patriots, Skip. Since 1996 to here we are right now, they've had 2 kickers. And for the most part, their kickers come through and win. The clutch. Now, we did see Gronkowski miss that PAT in Denver a couple years back. Ended up costing them, but it didn't cost them, but it made them had to go for 2 at the end as opposed to kicking the PAT and tying the game. But when you have those guys that are reliable, that you need a 40-yard kick or a 45-yard kick to win the game or to tie the game, you want somebody that's been in that moment before. I understand the guy, he was on the Cowboys roster 4 or 5 years ago, didn't make it, kicked up in Canada. Kicking in the NFL in pressurized situation is something entirely different. Now, I'm not surprised that they kept Rico Gathers considering they only had 3 tight ends. And the likelihood of them going into the season with only 2 tight ends, not very good, especially on going into a game with 2 tight ends. One get nicked, now you're down to 1 tight end.
You're saying you like 4 tight ends?
No.
Are you kidding? Are you being sarcastic?
No. Because they're going to run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you need them.
Not because of him, but go ahead.
Yeah, they're going to run the ball with Rico. Yeah. Skip, look, 5 years ago, he'd have been gone. Especially, he didn't have – I mean, he did okay, caught, 11, 12 passes in the preseason. But they wouldn't – but we view weed. We do marijuana possession. We view it differently now, especially with the laws as lax as they are on certain levels. So I'm not surprised by this. Considering that none of the tight ends that they have on any of the tight ends they have on their roster has really any valuable playing experience, so they have zero depth, and so I'm not surprised that they kept Rico. I'm shocked that they released Dan Bailey.
Okay, I'm going to start with the good news, and that starts with my guy Rico Gathers, and I'm assuming Jerry Jones thinks he will not be suspended. Maybe he'll use the "it was my friend's excuse" or I don't know, one of those kind to get out of it. Yeah.
But he was driving alone.
Right? I don't know, but he could have said he was there before.
There's always somebody.
Yeah, it was my brother.
I just made that up, Skip. I don't know. I don't know either.
They also kept on the 53-1 Randy Gregory, who last week had to go up to Chicago to meet with the NFL's medical director, and it sounded like bad things were about to happen, but I assume Jerry thinks he is not going to be suspended again and will be eligible for game one. He's on the 53. Travis Frederick kept on the 53, even with his new autoimmune deficiency syndrome that he's suffering from, but they kept him so they think he's going to be back sooner than later, not on IR where he would have to miss 8 games, right?
Correct.
So that's good news, good news, good news. And then they cut Deontay Thompson. I thought they loved him because he's the only receiver who can actually run, had an Achilles problem, but he fell all the way through waivers, all 32 teams, and they re-signed him for less money last night. So he's back on the roster, and New England picked up 2 different new receivers. So I guess Bill Belichick looked at this and said, Deontay Thompson. So that's what we're down to at the receiver core. But, again, good news. I just told you in the previous topic that they cut Jihad Ward. Remember, they gave up Ryan Switzer for Jihad Ward. He was a second-round pick 2 years ago by the Oakland Raiders, so they cut him. That shows you how deep the defensive line is. And Coney Ealy, you say, has bounced around. But I thought he was going to be a factor. Out. Charles Tapper, out. All these guys have some ability, and I think will wind up on other teams, which brings me back to kicker. You know how I feel about place kickers. Mm-hmm. I despise field goal kicking because it has way too much impact on scoreboard during games. I wish they would abolish it and completely eliminate it, but they're not going to.
Right.
So if I were an NFL owner, I've said this 1,000 times on national TV, I would overvalue that position. I would go out and overpay for that position because that guy, to your point, is going to win or lose, I don't know, 2 or 3 games a year. That's huge.
Yes.
It's playoffs or no playoffs. Right. It could come down to this.
Right.
Dan Bailey had been mostly clutch. Last year, he had another pull. He's always pulling something, so that's a problem. And he went a little south mentally. You were ridiculing me at the end of the year. And you know what happens? Once a kicker starts to lose it, it's hard to get it all the way back, mm-hmm. where you don't start seeing the demons in your psyche when you step out there. And so, again, was I shocked? Yeah, I was shocked because Brett Maher has never kicked in a game, in an NFL game. Are you kidding me? So in the last game, quote unquote, which was the game 4 of the preseason at Houston, he made a 57-yard field goal. His leg is bigger than Dan Bailey's leg.
Yeah.
And just for the record, he's a very good athlete. He set the state record in Nebraska. It's still state record for pole vault. And he was the state champion in the long jump. So he's athletic. He was twice Big Ten Kicker of the Year, and once he was the Big Ten Punter of the Year. So he has ability, and why he's bounced around, I guess he was in the wrong place at the wrong time because he'd been Jets. He was Cowboys briefly for 16 days. CFL, Browns cut, CFL, and back to the Cowboys. He's going on 29 years of age. Why is he stuck with anybody?
Right. I mean, but you make it seem like he's behind Vinatieri or Gostkowski.
I don't know.
Or Tucker in Baltimore. Named.
All those guys, I would go pay top dollar for them.
Yes.
I always said when Adam Vinatieri sort of broke the salary structure for kickers when he left New England and went to Indy, remember that?
Yes.
I was like, bully for them because that is smart. Mm-hmm. Because all he's going to do is win you a bunch of games over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's still afloat.
Right.
He's still
45.
A kicker. Yeah. Well, if you get one of those, he's worth way more than they don't pay these guys anything. Like Dan Bailey actually had the highest base salary among kickers at $3.4 million. Think of what we're talking about with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald and the quarterbacks. $3.4 million?
And the thing is, Skip, when you're dealing in a situation like this, it's not like I believe a lot of the Cowboys games will come down to a kick here or there.
Probably will. Especially if you're playing defense and running the ball. It's going to be low scoring.
Yes.
You're going to try to ball control and just eke it out.
Right.
You're going to try to win 18-14 or so, some
low scoring game.
Yeah, right? Well, field goals are going to keep playing in that, right?
Right.
They might have a 6 field goal game.
And Dallas knows well Mason Crosby.
Yeah.
You, Skip, think about
56 yards, 51 yards.
So just think,
And by the way, he is one of the highest paid kickers, and he should be.
Are you going to trust a rookie to those kind of kicks?
I don't know.
I mean, every once in a while, you get a situation like Josh Elliott for the Eagles. Remember game 2, Skip? He kicked a 60-yarder to beat the Giants, and you're like, he had to kick a field goal that far to beat Giants?
That was a big deal.
And he's been
much better than I thought he would.
And in the Super Bowl, you remember he kicked that 40-something-yarder to make it an 8-point game. So now New England, they got to get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion as opposed to a touchdown and winning the game. So you do get situations. But normally, guys that bounce around like this, Skip, they
– I would agree. But you don't even know – he hasn't bounced for the wrong reason. The wrong reason would be if he failed a couple of places, right?
Right.
And he choked. Well, he's never choked because he's never had the opportunity.
So
the first game that this happens, maybe it's going to be at Carolina, when he trots onto the field in the fourth quarter and the game is tied, my heart is going to be in my stomach.
I'm probably
going to close my eyes.
What do you think? I can tell you where his heart is going to be, somewhere else.
Yeah?
Yeah, it ain't going to be in the stomach.
In his throat?
Yeah, so a little further south. I think so.
Okay, maybe.
Think about what the Cowboys.
Remember, he was Big Ten Kicker of the Year twice, so he's been in some situations before Pac Stadium.
Every kicker that comes to the NFL has kicked in a pressurized situation.
I agree.
But kicking in college and kicking in the NFL, see, in college, you're kicking for books, tuition. In the NFL, you kicking for a paycheck, college tuition.
Well, now he's kicking for the minimum because they saved like $3.4 million that they're going to.
Well, they better go get Earl with that money they saved.
Well, I'm thinking maybe that's
Seattle. The, hold on to him. Don't let him go.
Case closer. It's going to happen.
No.
One of these days this week, you are going to have to drag yourself in here and eat crow because Earl Thomas will be a Dallas Cowboy. I am speaking it into existence. I am. He's
hold on to him. Hold on to him, Pete.
It's perfect. Jerry's just going to wait it out until maybe Thursday or Friday. Heck, it may be until Saturday.
Earl is worth more to the Seahawks than he would be to the Cowboys.
They don't want him anymore.
That's okay.
Yeah, we got him. We got lots of salary cap room. We're good.
I don't want you to have him.
We are good to go. That will be the capper on this. All of a sudden, this will be with Earl Thomas. It will become one of the top. I'll go top five defenses in pro football. Ezekiel Elliott and a top five defense and a quarterback with the QBR in the top five, that equals playoffs.
Dinking and dacking the ball around?
That's fine. We can dink and dack all day.
Oh, you want to dink and dack?
I don't care.
That's a good way to
ball
keep
ball control. First down.
That's a good way to keep the QBR up.
16 plays, 82 yards, touchdown.
If it happens, though.
Yes.
If it happens.
Well, I got a good feeling about this.
No, you ain't got no good
feeling. I don't have a good feeling about this kicker, though. But who knows?
I'm picturing you just watching the game with your eyes.
I won't watch. I will do lots of things besides watch.
Uh-oh. Oh, you got to watch this. That thing goes.
Eyes wide open.
Carolina got some fun.
I may need my good luck charm. I may have to get Hazel to come in for the first kick.
Luke.
Every time she comes in, good things happen.
All you're going to hear all sudden.
I'm all teased.
I need a photo of that. No mercy. All right, Coach, everyone had questions about who was going to start at quarterback when this game started. What answers did you have about your quarterbacks after watching both of them play tonight?
Well, I still like both guys. I think both guys are good players. I think both guys can help our team. All right, so why do you continually try to get me to say something that doesn't respect one of them? I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Well, that was Nick Saban getting very testy with ESPN sideline reporter Maria Taylor after Alabama's blowout win on Saturday. Tua got the start against Louisville, but Jalen Hurts still got some playing time. The video got a huge reaction on social media, and Saban called Taylor to apologize. I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys think. Shannon, I'm going to start with you. What does this tell you about Nick Saban?
Nothing. He's always like this. He's always this way, confrontational. Coach Saban feels like I won 5 national championships in a 9-year span. I should be above reproach. How dare you question my decision on who I play or how I use my quarterbacks? Maria Taylor just happened to be on the end. She just happened to be the one to answer the question. This was basically all the media. Skip, you remember, was it last year or 2 years ago, he said the media's like rat poison. He said, you guys ask these questions, they start eating it up, and it kills our team. This is Coach Saban. This is who he is. So now all of a sudden we think he's going to change? Coach Saban's not going to change. It could have been Maria Taylor. It could have been Skip Bayless. It could have been Jenny Taft. It didn't matter. Who asked the question, this is what they're going to get. Because here's the thing, Skip. Coach Saban feels some type of loyalty to Jalen Hurts because he has taken them to 2 national championship games. He didn't win them, but he did take them there. Tua came in. Skip, it's painfully obvious. Tua is the better of the 2 quarterbacks. The throwing the ball is not even close. And what Hurts provided for you in the run game is not substantially different than what Tua can give you. So Tua can run the ball. Maybe not as well as Hurts can, but he throws the ball 1,000 times better. So now you just can't skip the throws he was making, Skip. Did you see the one down the middle, right before the half? And everybody's looking like, okay, Tua's in. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Okay, they put Hurts in. Punt, punt. They put Tua back in. Touchdown. 28-0 at the half. And everybody's looking like, Coach Saban, are you watching a different game than what we're seeing? Because we see you go up and down the field with Tua, we see you stall it out with Jalen Hurts. So what seems to be the problem? And all she asked, you had questions going into the game. Do you still have those same questions? Because from what I saw, it shouldn't even be close. And Coach Saban's feeling some type of way. You know, hey, I got these 5 chips. At Alabama, I got 6 total. I'm sainting it. You need to put some speck on my name and not ask me these questions.
Really?
But Coach Saban is Coach Saban. We know how he is. Nothing's changed. It just so happens that Maria Taylor asked that question. It was her job. So she got the first sideline interview. She got the tongue lashing. But it could have been anyone.
So you love Doug Peterson and you love Nick Saban. You're having a bad day.
See,
these were two classless acts by these two guys.
I didn't say I loved it. I'm just saying this is who he is. You know it.
So Maria Taylor asked a perfectly reasonable, easy to answer question. And she did not do so antagonistically or probingly. Mm-hmm. She just asked a straightforward question about this was a big question. It's simply the biggest single question in all of college football.
Correct.
Which quarterback you going with, coach? Because he won't announce a decision, right? He
Saying
wouldn't even announce a starter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she gave him the out of what answer did you have tonight? Well, I'd say that's a perfectly reasonable question, and that was a perfectly unreasonable answer. And I think he started off reasonably.
Yes.
And then he just snapped in mid-sentence,
and
he went a different direction. And I'm partial about this. I think Jenny's the best sideline reporter in all of college football.
Yeah.
And I wish he had snapped on Jenny.
So
I'm not going to post it, but I'm just giving her a compliment.
That was so nice of
Well,
you.
It's just the truth. And I wish St. Nick had said the same thing to Jenny Taft, because he might have gotten an earful right back.
Nah, Jenny composed. Jenny hold that thing down. Jenny was like, okay. Coach Saban, well, let me ask you this. That's how Jenny would have handled it. Jenny is not like that. Jenny's not confrontational.
No, she would have said, Coach, I just ask you a perfectly reasonable question that everybody out in our TV land is, in our viewer land is asking right now.
And don't make me take the
100%.
Earrings and heels off and do you right here, Coach Saban. You're about to get bust up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have gone that far.
Watch out, Jenny sideline reporter.
The point is that, once again, Nick Saban, who's always had a problem handling his quarterbacks, it's the one part of the football team he's least comfortable with is the quarterback. It's why he's always wanted just a cog at quarterback, right? Some A.J. McCarron or Jake Coker that he can go win championships with, because he doesn't have to worry about them, because mostly they just hand off Greg McElroy, throw low-risk passes. And I'll remind you, back in 2015, remember the game against Ole Miss at Tuscaloosa?
Right.
That they lost to Chad Kelly, who's now your backup quarterback in Denver, and should be, because he's pretty good.
Played well.
Yeah. Remember that game, Nick Saban started Cooper Bateman over Jake Coker. He thought he had to mix it up, and they lost 43-37 at home. And then he went back and he had lost his senses. He regained them, and he put Jake Coker back in the lineup. And what happened?
Won a
national championship. Okay, so that's the guy who's choking under this pressure right now, because he has two quarterbacks. And I disagree with your conclusion about this. I don't think he feels any loyalty to Jalen Hurts, but deep down, he thinks Jalen Hurts is a more solid performer with much more experience than Tua. And the reason, to me, Coach Saban has become basically cat on a hot tin roof is because Tua is everything that he does not love in a quarterback.
Correct.
He is a riverboat gambler who will try just about anything.
That first TD pass.
Hey, can we see that? Do we have this one? The one where he spun out of trouble and just flung it into the end zone? Let's try this one. I'm in a little trouble. Nope, I spin and I just wing it blindly to the corner of the end zone. What if the DB had played the ball right? Might he still be running? He just got lost. The DB just got lost on this play, right?
Whew.
And when Coach Saban goes back and looks at that tape and runs it back and forth, he's going to be saying, that's my starting quarterback? I think it's scaring him to death. That's not the way Alabama plays offense, right?
No, it's not. But the thing is, Skip, if you notice, if Jalen Hurts, if they'd had two of the year before, they beat Clemson. Because what these teams, the Clemson and the Georgia, that equal talent.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yeah.
Might one of these games he come apart and throw three picks because he's trying too hard, or trying throws that you just can't keep escaping from?
Well, he will force the defense to be honest, Skip.
You know?
Because if you watch him throw the ball, he threw some darts.
Oh, he can wing it. Oh.
He threw some darts.
It's sensational. It takes my breath. Like I'm like, wow.
And see, the thing is, he feels that, like you said, the first question she asked, Coach Saban was going good. He's like, yeah.
And then he flipped. I mean, it's like he snapped in mid-thought, because he did. He lumped her question with all the questions he's been asked all week.
Yes.
But it was the pejorative you. It was everybody her.
Right.
Because I don't know that Maria Taylor's asked him that question before, right?
And so he did with Doug Peterson. He said it. I'm lumping all you guys in together.
Yeah.
Coach Saban didn't say that, but that's what he did. Because she's not trying to put Jalen Hurts against Tua. She just watched the ball game from the sideline.
Yep.
She saw what everybody else saw. There should be no doubt in your mind, Coach Saban, who your starting quarterback should be. And he's like, well, you know, both of these got both. No, both of them didn't play well. Tua had a 99 QBR. You say you love QBR.
I do.
He had 99.
Yeah.
99. Jalen Hurts had 48.
Yeah.
So what are we discussing again?
Yeah. What if that DB hadn't got lost in that play and stayed home and he catches it and runs 104 yards?
Oh, kind of like the guy at San Francisco when he misplayed Michael Gallup and Dak Prescott got a touchdown and you were heaping, jumping up and down? Mm. Oh, what if he hadn't misplayed that? You see how I did it, Skip?
No.
I keep telling you, I'll be waiting.
That was a preseason game.
Okay.
This one counted.
Yeah.
Right?
But guess what? The DB misplayed the ball.
Mm.
That's all my point is, Skip. Mm.
Well, this was Louisville and Orlando. Well, I don't think Louisville's very good on defense.
I know another team that we're not talking about that's not very good.
Who?
They happen to go to South Bend.
Mm.
Mm, old khaki pants.
Well, I would love to talk about
that. We'll talk about it later.
We had time for that because I told you before the show I wanted to talk about it, but we don't have time.
But I tell you
because
who.
Because I could educate you on what happened Saturday night.
I tell you what you can't educate me on. Mm-hmm. I know who did look good. Mm-hmm. I know who looked good every open in September.
Who? Oklahoma?
Stop playing.
Oklahoma. Jenny was
When was
there.
The last time they won a national championship? Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, boy, they've won.
99? Was that the last time?
Yeah. Coach Saban. They've been in the playoffs a bunch of times.
The Alabama Invitational.
Yeah.
And guess who? And guess who keep bringing the trophy
home? What happened
home?
The last time Oklahoma played Alabama in a bowl game? Help me out.
You know how long ago that's been, Skip?
Huh?
We done won three national championships since then. I can't even go back
there. I don't think you've won three since
Okay,
then.
We only won two. My bad. Yeah. But they've only been four played.
How did you give up 40-plus again to Trevor Knight?
He gave 40 points.
He's not half the quarterback Baker Mayfield was.
Baker
maybe had, even Kyler Murray is.
Baker,
I don't know.
Baker had a chance to see us, and he lost to the team that we took apart.
He got hurt.
He didn't get hurt.
He did. He got banged up.
Don't do that, Skip. Yeah. Skip.
He went double
Y'all
overtime.
Had a 24, what,
he
24-7
lead. He threw for 200 yards in the first half against
the
Roquan
game is
Smith.
Two halves.
I don't care.
Oh. We're
say
living
with,
in the
say
past.
Say it with me, Skip. Yeah. Say Nick. I forgot my prop.
Wait, ain't Nick.
I forgot my prop.
Saint Nick has to get used to answering that question because it is going to continue.
I'd say.
Y'all don't ask me that question anymore.
Yeah.
I wish I could interview him. I'd have some fun with that one someday.
Jenny, don't
someday.
Have don't
Okay,
have fun
more quarterback drama. The Giants completely messed up their QB situation. Maybe we'll discuss
Probably.
That next. No mercy. The Giants released quarterback Davis Webb yesterday, a day after he made the team's 53-man roster. Webb was drafted in the third round in 2017, but he did not play a snap in his rookie season. The Giants chose not to pick a quarterback with the number 2 pick in this year's draft, instead going with Saquon Barkley, and Sam Darnold went one pick later to the Jets. Okay, Shannon, after releasing Webb, should the Giants have taken Darnold number 2?
Yes, and this is not a knock on Saquon, Skip. And for the Giants' sake, they better hope Sam Darnold doesn't get any better than what he is right now. Because if he turns out to be something special and you passed on him under no circumstance, equal value for value, do you take anybody over the quarterback? That's the most valuable.
And he's a Jet,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
now you got to see him.
Yeah.
For the next, the Jets are hoping for at least the next 10 to 12 years.
Yeah.
Skip, you can't do that. Now, you can take Saquon if you got someone in place to take over for Eli. Eli not playing 5 more years. That's not happening.
Mm.
And the guy was served up on a silver plate. Mm. You got it. Sam Darnold, turn that card in, everything's happy. You cut Davis Webb, who was supposed to be the heir apparent. So if I'm Eli, I'm mad at everybody. You broke my streak for Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
not
had Davis Webb. You didn't even try him.
Didn't even try him.
Okay.
And so now, one game, Skip, this makes no sense to me. I don't know what the job, but I tell you what, Eli better play well.
Mm-hmm.
They paid Odell. They get Saquon. That defense supposed to be better than what it was. They get a left tackle. Eli better be flawless. And I'm talking about Beyonce type flawless. Because if not, boy. Mm.
Well, they've only missed the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years, I remind Giants fans, who probably don't need to be reminded of that.
No, they don't.
So, I'm not going to be 20-20 hindsight hypocrite here. I said before the draft, I did not love Sam Darnold. I don't blame the Giants for not taking Sam Darnold. I didn't then. I don't now because I just couldn't love him. I think he's the classic great kid who tries too hard to make the perfect throw. And what was he in college?
turnover machine.
Machine, turnover prone like crazy. And now the pressure on him has gone through the stadium roof in New York City because he is a Jet to the Giants. And now the scrutiny on him will just ratchet way up because, oh, wait a second, they cut the heir apparent and they could have had. So now the Giants' eyes will be on Sam Darnold as well as the Jets Nation's eyes, right?
Well, Skip, they put all their eggs in Eli's basket. They better hope he don't trip on his way to the market.
Okay, but the Jets better hope that Sam Darnold doesn't become the roast of New York instead of the toast of New York.
Right.
Because it's possible as a kid thrown into that.
Right.
Because the Jets aren't very good.
And the thing is, Skip, if you remember with Eli, Kurt Warner started the season.
Well,
like
did.
The first eight games, it was Kurt Warner that started. So you're asking, and that's why I'm saying you err on the side of caution with rookies.
Yep.
There are very few rookies that can withstand losing, taking that pounding, and say, you know what, I'm okay. Peyton Manning. But you don't. There's not a whole lot of guys that's wired and built like him.
All right. So, I was also on record before the draft. I was not, just going back a couple of drafts ago, I was not a big Davis Webb fan. He's prototypical. He's got a big arm, stands tall in the pocket. Just didn't love his poise and feel and moxie. But I did love this year's fourth-round pick of the Giants. Not love, but I like Kyle Lauletta. Hmm. You checked him out?
What, that was the guy that, oh, the Patriots are going to take him. There's Jimmy G. Woo, the Patriots are going to take. Okay.
So, how did I know about Kyle Lauletta? Because I turned on the Senior Bowl to watch Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, who were on the North squad, and I watched and I watched and I watched, and I kept having the wow factor because the kid quarterbacking for the South just kept winging it all over the place. I saw moxie, I saw clever, I saw cool, I saw a kid who knows how to play quarterback. I'm not saying he's the future of the Giants, but yeah.
He better be.
As a backup?
He got to be.
No, he doesn't have to
be. Yes, he does.
He can do a lot of things there. But again,
what?
Is it possible he's the future? It's possible.
So is Eli the future?
By the way, Kyle Lauletta in the Senior Bowl, again, going up against Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, he merely threw for 200 yards in the time that he was in the game and three touchdowns and won the MVP. It was pretty good. And again, he played at Richmond. I watched no games at Richmond, but I watched him against some pretty good players on the field in the Senior Bowl, and he looked pretty great to me.
The Richmond Spiders. So, so if Laletta's not the future, you didn't take Darnold, is Eli the future?
What did Dave Gettleman, the new GM, say about Saquon Barkley on draft night? He said he was touched by the hand of God. Well, if you believe that, and I don't, but if you believe that, I'm okay with you taking him over Sam Darnold. Will he turn out to be that? I think not.
When was the last time a running back ran a team to a Super Bowl? Even the one that was touched by God.
All right, but Eli was touched by the hand of God twice in his
life.
Don't
do that, dog. That's
Skip. He was in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. He has two Super Bowl MVPs and two victories over the greatest quarterback
ever. Goals don't
lose
to Eli Manning.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. He did that. He was touched by the hand of God twice. And he threw the luckiest pass in the history of the Super Bowl, but it got complete because it stuck in David Tyree's face.
What about the one that Mario Manningham?
That was a
22 man.
Throw. That's the only one I've ever seen. He dropped it right down the chimney.
Yes!
It was a beautiful throw.
Yes!
But if Tom Brady hadn't made his one bad throw out of eight Super Bowl appearances, little high and outside to Wes Welker, who still should have caught it.
No.
He's a wide out.
You do realize that Tom Brady threw intentional grounded and got a safety, right?
No, don't remember that.
Oh, you do, Skip. That was the first two points.
My memory fogs.
Don't do that. You say you remember everything. Yeah. You eat carrots and the perfect
flute. I don't eat carrots. I never eat carrots.
And broccoli. Oh, broccoli.
It's nature's most perfect food.
So your mind is sharp. Yeah. Mind is sharp. They say you got a mind like a steel trap.
Yeah, something like that
happened.
So I remember Eli won two Super Bowls, and so I cannot condemn the Giants for saying, let's go back to the Eli well one more time.
Yeah, but that last time he won the Super Bowl was how long ago? The last time Eli played really, really well for a season was how long ago?
Okay, what did the Giants have to watch Tom Brady do once again last year? He won the MVP at age 40, and Eli's 37, and they're thinking, well, we've got this guy.
But, Skip, Tom Brady was great throughout his 30s.
He was.
Eli hadn't been great throughout his 30s, so now all of a sudden he's going to get to the latter part of his 30s, and he's going to hit another streak where he gets hot and goes till his 40s?
They're just hoping lightning strikes Eli and he turns into some hand of God player.
You don't get to run a business on hope.
Okay. So are you saying Davis Webb is better than Kyle Lauletta? Because he's just not.
We don't know. But I believe Sam Darnold would be better than both of them.
We'll see about that. What do you think the Jets are going to go this year? They going to win a game?
I think the Giants have better personnel than mm-hmm. the Jets. So, yeah, they'll probably win more games. Mm-hmm. But I believe if Darnold played for the Giants and Eli played for the Jets, I believe the Giants will still have a better record than the Jets. Mm.
Well, I believe the Giants made exactly the right move, and I don't like the Giants because I like the Cowboys.
Of course,
I'm going to defend them on this.
Of course you expect it because you expect Eli to serve you up a couple of picks. That's what you hoping.
For a while, Eli owned us, and lately, not so much.
You upset so because okay. he signed his name on Cowboys Stadium
he
when it first
that,
went up.
And he lived. That came back to haunt him.
No, it didn't.
Yeah,
because he got a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
After he did that to y'all.
Yeah, we did it to him a bunch of little times.
Y'all ain't won no Super Bowl.
They haven't made the playoffs 5 times in 6 years.
Y'all only made it twice.
Yeah.
So what?
We're good.
Oh, okay.
Y'all not good. Y'all not good.
Will Lamar Jackson spend the season on the bench? We'll discuss next. No mercy. RG3 is still a Raven. Baltimore kept him on the 53-man roster, and NFL Network reports he'll be the backup to Joe Flacco, while rookie Lamar Jackson will start the season as the third string. The Ravens are carrying 3 quarterbacks on the roster for the first time in 9 years. Shannon, what is going on in Baltimore?
I was surprised by this move, Skip, for the very reason that Jenny said. This is the first time since 2009 they've had 3 quarterbacks. And I've also said that I felt that Lamar Jackson would be better served as a redshirt year. Clearly, the Ravens think that also. To make sure that he doesn't have to play immediately, he's going to have to go through 2 quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Joe Flacco and RG3, mm-hmm. because I do believe this will better serve Lamar Jackson in the long run. But kudos to RG3 because mm-hmm. he's come back from a very, very long way.
Yes, he's regained his confidence mm-hmm. and maybe some of his swagger, it looks yep. like to me, which is why I wanted Jerry Jones to spend a 6th-round draft pick to go trade for RG3 because Jerry kept 2 quarterbacks who don't look like they can play behind Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush and Mike White, the rookie. I don't get either one of those moves. But I also don't want to see Lamar Jackson relegated to a bunch of slash plays, as in gadget plays, as in running back receiver kind mm-hmm. of plays in which you throw him onto the field. And I think they're going to do a lot of that this year. And I don't want to see it because he doesn't deserve that.
I don't think so, Skip. I think they're going to let him play quarterback. But RG3 is proven. He's been a starter. He deserves to be a backup. He's earned yep. his job. He's earned it. So kudos to him again. And I believe Lamar will be better served being in this role long term. Mm. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.